Now, here's an Aviation BizCast from Avweb, the world's premier independent aviation news service. Brought to you today by Aviation Safety Magazine. You can check them out at aviationsafetymagazine.com. They're called use taxes, and Maine and Florida have adopted them as a new source of revenue. But are they legal? Maine tax lawyer John Block is defending 8 aircraft owners against the levy in that state, and he told Avweb's Russ Niles he believes Maine's application of the tax violates the U.S. Constitution.
Talking to John Block, he's a lawyer in Maine. He specializes in local and state taxes. You're building up quite a portfolio of aircraft owners who have been bitten by Maine's use tax on aircraft. Is that correct?
That is correct, representing 8 of these aircraft owners at the moment.
Okay, what's the crux of the case? I know this is going on in Florida as well, but the Maine situation seems a little bit better developed and probably not exactly the same as Florida, but what is going on in Maine?
What's going on in Maine is that the Maine Revenue Service has been making, for the last few years, a very concerted effort to audit and assess use tax on aircraft that land in Maine and spend more than 20 days in Maine during their first year of ownership. And they are actively seeking out those situations and assessing use tax. And the cases have been working their way through the administrative appeal process. And as of about a month ago, there are 5 cases that are now in court in Maine. They're now in the judicial system. That's what's going on.
What Maine says is that if you buy an airplane outside of Maine and you don't get charged sales tax on it, there are states that don't charge sales tax on aircraft, and you fly it to Maine more than 20 times, is it in the first 6 months?
If the plane is actually here more than 20 days. It could be just one flight in and out and have the plane here for 20 days. That would trigger the tax during the first 12 months of ownership.
They want the equivalent sales tax.
Technically, it's called a use tax, but it's essentially the sales tax.
So we're talking tens of thousands of dollars on a new Cirrus, or heaven forbid it be a Global Express or something like that.
Yes. Recently, I've seen them in the hundreds of thousands of dollars at the high end, and at the low end, $5,000-$10,000. A few years ago, we handled an assessment of a fleet of corporate aircraft, and that assessment was up around $14, $15 million for a fleet of about 15 planes. So they can get quite high.
You've got some basic legal arguments against this tax, and it revolves around the Commerce Act, I understand.
Yeah, the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution. One of the basic tenets of the U.S. Constitution's Commerce Clause is that a state cannot discriminate against interstate commerce. They can tax interstate commerce if certain conditions are met, but they can't discriminate against it. For example, a state can't assess you on a purchase made in another state and brought into Maine if that same item purchased in Maine would be exempt. And that's really what's going on here, and that is because there are statutory exemptions on the books that apply to aircraft that are purchased in Maine and then taken out of the state and not registered in Maine. That's one of them. And the state's position has been that does not apply to aircraft that are purchased outside of Maine. They're already outside of Maine and they're not registered in Maine, but they end up being present in Maine for more than 20 days. And so if my client, for example, had purchased that same aircraft in Maine, they would not have been taxed. Because they purchased the aircraft outside of Maine, they are being taxed. And that's the important point, and that's the part that violates the Commerce Clause, that interpretation. That's the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And so we're saying that the exemption has to be interpreted in a constitutional manner, which means it has to apply equally to aircraft purchased in-state and aircraft purchased out-of-state.
I'm a little curious about the investigative process that goes on with the state. How do they know how often you fly your airplane in and how long it stays here?
Sure. There are a couple of ways. When aircraft are flown IFR, instrument flight rules, my understanding is that there is a filing made with the FAA by the pilot. And Maine has purchased software that enables it to tap into that FAA data, literally see when the plane coming into Maine and when it's leaving. As long as it's an IFR flight, they can see that. That's the first thing, and that's the easiest thing. An auditor can sit at her desk and obtain that information with a few keystrokes, apparently. And secondarily, I've heard that auditors are visiting local airports or calling local airport managers and simply asking questions about how many planes are there and have any been there for more than 20 days and who owns the plane. That picks up planes that fly into Maine VFR or that somehow fell through the cracks of the FAA data. So it's both a computerized method and a actual boots on the ground at the airport type of investigation.
I mean, the way these things often go, when there's a law on the books, it's not sort of actively pursued. It's there in case somebody is really sort of overtly abusing the system. But this sounds like a sort of a calculated campaign to ferret out all of these airplanes and actually make sure that the tax is paid on them.
I think it's fair to say that it's a revenue-generating idea that Maine Revenue had a few years ago. And so it is an actual program that they are implementing. As a matter of fact, they have an office in Holton, Maine, which is dedicated to this kind of work, that this is one of the primary functions of that office, and they have several auditors that are assigned to this type of work.
So once you create that bureaucracy, then you have to support it, right? There has to be some payback to the state from this activity, right?
Right, that's right.
So how far along are your cases? You're in Superior Court. They're being argued now?
Yes, they have just been filed within the last month, and we filed the latest one today, the fifth one. And these owners have basically formed a group, and we are representing them as a group and trying to set a precedent with just one or two cases versus litigating all of them so that we can save some money for them. And so we're hoping to take at least one of those cases all the way to the Maine Supreme Court to rule on the constitutionality of Maine's application of its use tax law here. And I think that it will take at least a year to reach a decision at the Superior Court level, and then usually another year before there is a Maine Supreme Court decision. So we're looking at least a two-year process at this point.
Well, nothing spreads faster than a good tax idea, so I'm assuming that other states are keeping an eye on what's happening in Maine and seeing whether or not they can get away with this, right?
That's right. I would have to assume that that's the case, and that may be what happened with Florida. I don't know who had the idea first, Maine or Florida, but they may have been talking to each other or you know, heard about it, and I think one has to assume that this will spread to other states. Most states, there are some exceptions, but most states have a sales and use tax. There's only supposed to be one tax paid, but it could really cause a lot of burden on aircraft owners, for example, to be audited by more than one state on the same aircraft and have to get to the bottom of which state, if any, was entitled to the money, and states don't necessarily talk to each other at that point. And so somebody could end up having the risk of multiple taxes, even though that's not supposed to happen, and at least multiple audits. And so I think it is a danger that this will spread and really slow down the whole system as aircraft owners try to get their arms around which states are doing what. And every state has unique sales tax laws and exemptions, to try to get your arms around 50 states' laws is not that easy. And so it could, I think, cause a lot of havoc for small aircraft owners.
Well, we'll be watching it with interest and appreciate your time today, John.
My pleasure.
Comments on today's Aviation Bizcast. Welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. You can learn more or subscribe at aviationsafetymagazine, all one word, .com. Mike Blakeney reporting for Avweb Audio. Thanks for listening.